Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29 says, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. If you watch the news has kind of been crazy in recent weeks with all that's going on. This week you had the attack in France, that terrible attack. You had an attempted coup in Turkey that seems to have been done away with, or brought down. But up to those two things in the recent days, much of the news has been about the deaths of two black men in the United States, Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Philando Castile in Minnesota, by the hands of police. And then the deaths of five police officers in Dallas who went out on the streets assisting, actually kind of watching over a Black Lives Matter protest in Dallas. And I did not address, you know, and this has been the subject, I know it's been discussed on news, no matter what news station you watch, these things have been discussed and looked at from many different angles. And I did not address these things last week, but I wanted to go ahead and talk about them some this week. And this has been a hard sermon for me. I've deleted whole pages and then written more. And it's almost, and to tell you the truth, it's almost a thing, I almost have too many thoughts. You know, I started to go in this direction, then like, no, that's not really where I want to go. And then start to go in this direction and then back off. I thought about giving some personal experiences and things. Obviously, I'm not black, I'm white, but my own experiences with race relations and things like that. And then I decided I didn't want to do that. But I did want to address some of these issues, but I didn't necessarily know exactly what I wanted to say. And so the sermon was hard to write, not because I had no thoughts, but I really couldn't focus in on what I wanted to say. Many in our country think that black men are often treated differently by police than white men. Whether that means that police are racist, that they're actually racist police that we're talking about, or if police have more fear of black men and have a shorter leash when they're dealing with blacks. Even some that are not necessarily supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement have expressed some similar things. I think about Benjamin Watson. He's an NFL tight end, and he's a Christian. And if you have a chance ever to hear Benjamin Watson's thoughts on things, I would encourage you to do so. He's very thoughtful. He has some really good thoughts. And he says he's never really had a bad run-in with police. He's been stopped by the police many times. And he explained that he always goes out of his way to comply, realizing, he said, that as a black American, and particularly in his case, an athletic young black man, he might have a shorter leash than a white man in the same situation. Similarly, this week, Republican Senator Tim Scott, this is a black senator that's kind of, most of your black senators are on the Democrat side. This is a black Republican senator, Tim Scott, gave some examples that he's experienced in his life. He said he recalled drawing the suspicion of Capitol Police officer last year who insisted on seeing identification even though he was wearing a lapel pin that's worn by senators that identifies him as a senator. Mr. Scott was first elected to the House in 2010, and then he became a senator in 2013. And he said that the officer looked at me full of attitude and said, "The pin I know, you I don't, show me your ID." He said, "I tell you, I was thinking to myself, either he thinks I'm committing a crime impersonating a member of Congress or what?" And he says, "Well, I thank God I have not endured bodily harm. I have, however, felt the pressure applied by the scales of justice when they are slanted." He goes on to say, "I have felt the anger, the frustration, the sadness, and the humiliation that comes with feeling like you are being targeted for nothing more than being just yourself." And so some people look and they see these things and they feel that there's legitimate complaints that need to be voiced. Whereas other people see groups as Black Lives Matter as part of the problem that are only increasing in racial tensions in this country, leading to more tensions and divisions. And I'm not against peaceful protests, but when I see things go over the board, over the line, and start throwing things at police or stomping on cars, I think it goes too far. As many of the people, even some people that are in support of Black Lives Matter, would say. At the ESPYs Awards this week, and the ESPYs are just awards by ESPN where they honor athletes, Chris Paul, an NBA player from the Los Angeles Clippers, first, you know, talks about, I believe it was his uncle or something that was a police officer, and talked about many of the fine police officers around the country. And then he started to mention some names: Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Laquan McDonald, Alton Sterling, and Philande Castillo. And there's some in our country that believe that in these cases the officers went too far. And others believe that at least in some of these cases there was legitimate need for self-defense. And some along the latter lines feel that almost the officers are presumed guilty in some of these cases before the evidence is even known. I think almost all Americans believe that what happened in Dallas about a week and a half ago was wrong. Some see it as a completely unwarranted, violent, and inappropriate response to what they see as legitimate complaints about policing in this country, and they believe that two wrongs do not make a right. Others may question whether there was any wrong that happened last week until the violent attacks on police. And I certainly have my own thoughts and ideas. And as I said, I was going, you know, I kind of went this way and that way and the other way in the sermon, you know, thinking about throwing some of those things out there before I decide to delete them and go in a different way. But when I was thinking about my own thoughts and thinking about the different sides of the issue, it somehow just kind of all of a sudden popped into my mind what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, when he said to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I want to explain what I mean by that, because I don't necessarily look at these things as enemies or see us as being enemies or people on opposite sides. But I thought about what Jesus said about loving your enemies, and then I thought about something that C.S. Lewis had said in his book, Mere Christianity. He was talking about other Christians and what our attitude should be towards other Christian groups that we may sometimes disagree strongly with. And he said, if they are wrong, they need your prayers all the more. And if they are your enemies, then we are under orders to pray for them. And I think that we do live in a nation that's somewhat divided. And whether it's simply racial divisions, black or white, or whether it's political divisions and our views on these issues, I think that oftentimes we come together with very different sorts of ideas. I'm not suggesting, again, I'm not suggesting we are enemies. We can be concerned about police officers and also be concerned about young black lives. We can disagree and still respect other people's viewpoints. But I've also seen the other side of what can happen. This week there was a town hall meeting on CNN entitled Black, White, and Blue. And the idea behind it was that we need to listen to the other side, even listen to those whom we disagree with. And I have to tell you, I love the beginning of it. At the beginning of, you know, this town hall with Black, White, and Blue, they talked to the family of one of the Dallas police officers that were killed. And they also talked to the mother of Alton Sterling's son. And as they were going through grief, both the family and her were respectful, kind, and admirable, and spoke very kindly to each other. And even when they left the stage, I really liked some of the early discussions, as you heard points of view from black men, including a black doctor who had actually been at the hospital and had treated some of the police officers that had come in trying to save their lives. And also talking to some white police officers and other blacks and different things. I liked some of the earlier discussions. But then as things went along, I found myself getting upset with some of the viewpoints. And it was not just what was being said, but even some of the questions that I felt like maybe weren't being asked or followed up on. And my point is that listening, we should listen. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think absolutely we should listen, and we should listen to those whom we disagree with. But listening does not always bring us closer. Listening can sometimes rile us up more, reminding us of how much we disagree. But then I come back to Jesus' words when he says, love your enemies. And again, I don't think we're enemies. I don't think that at all. But it just reminded me that we do not have to share someone's views to need to pray for them. We need to remember that we are a people who pray for those that we disagree with. And if they are wrong, then we should definitely pray for them. And if they are wrong, then maybe God can change their hearts. And if we are wrong, then we hope that God changes our hearts and our understanding as well. So that if you are someone who supports Black Lives Matters, you need to pray for those who do not support Black Lives Matter. And if you feel that blacks are too often subject to abuse by police in this country, you still need to pray for the police in this country. And on the other hand, if you are one of those who think that Black Lives Matter is really part of the problem, then you need to pray for those who are in support of Black Lives Matter. And if you feel that many of the people that Black Lives Matter hold up as examples should not be the examples, you still need to pray for young black men as well as young white men, and pray that these situations do not escalate in the future. My point is that we can disagree with people, and we can even strongly disagree with people, but we still need to pray for them. As C.S. Lewis says, if they are wrong, they need your prayers all the more. And of course, he's talking about different Christian groups, but it applies in different situations. And if they are your enemies, if you start to look at the other side as the enemy, then you are under orders to pray for them. That is one of the rules, to paraphrase what he's saying, that is one of the rules of Christianity. And I think you see this, and we're getting ready. I mean, things have settled down some this week as other things have maybe come to the forefront. But I think you're going to see things liven up a bit. And starting tomorrow, you're going to have the Republican National Convention. About a week later, you're going to have the Democrat National Convention. And you see these sorts of things way too often with politics. And I think we need to remember that as Christians, that we don't just pray for presidents or leaders we like or support, but we need to pray for all leaders, maybe especially those that we disagree with the most. If you think they are wrong, they need your prayers. And if we are wrong about some things, again, hopefully God will change our heart and attitudes. And I couldn't think about this whole issue with politics and who we pray for, and do we pray the same for those, if you're a Republican, do you pray for a Democratic president? If you're a Democrat, do you pray for a Republican president? And I thought of Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 is, starts off, let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those authorities that exist, whoever they are, have been instituted by God. Verse 4, for it is God's servant for your good, but if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. And then it ends, verse 7, pay to all what is due to them, taxes to whom taxes are due. And then it goes on to say, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. And do you know who the emperor was when Paul said this? It was Emperor Nero, the first Roman emperor to persecute. This was later on, but the first Roman emperor to persecute Christians. He was the emperor that was so looked down upon that he was the one who was accused of fiddling while Rome burned. If you've ever heard that expression, fiddling while Rome burned, that was Emperor Nero. But even more than that, it's not just about Nero. I remember taking, at ACU in graduate school, taking a class on backgrounds of the New Testament. And one of the books we had to read for that class was Suetonius, The 12 Caesars. And the instructor kind of pointed out in that class that the sexual infidelities of the Caesars, and I forget his exact words, but it was something like made Clinton look like a choir boy. And really, if you read through that book, that's about right. And of course, I took this class in the late late 90s, right after all this stuff had gone on with the impeachment and things like that of Bill Clinton. But I think what that called to my attention is I look at passages like Romans chapter 13. I mean, none of these Caesars were what you would consider upstanding citizens. But they were the emperor. They were the ones in power. And what it said to me is Paul didn't say we should be subject to governing authorities because they have high moral character. But he says we are to be subject to governing authorities because they're put there by God. And we're to be subject to them regardless of their moral character. He almost is saying just the opposite, but for whatever reason, God allowed to be a Nero to be in power, and Christians should pray for him. He says it again in 1 Timothy chapter 2, a similar idea. Therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that you make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving for everyone, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceful life in godliness and honesty. And again, who was emperor at that time? It was Nero. It was later in his reign. And sometimes I think people start to forget that we don't have to agree or even like the President of the United States to pray for them. If you're a Democrat and you think, you know, George Bush was terrible, that doesn't excuse you from not praying for him when he's the President of the United States. If you're a Republican and you don't think that Barack Obama is best for the country, that doesn't stop you from praying for him when he's the President of the United States. In the Sermon on the Mount, we're told to pray for enemies, and we don't just pray for those as Christians. We don't just pray for those that we like. We pray for people we dislike. And as C.S. Lewis says, if we count them as enemies, then we are under obligation to pray for them. And so my point is, as Christians, as we look at the events going on in society around us, and if we, you know, get caught up in watching the news and start to take sides on some of these issues, that no matter what side we find ourselves on, we need to pray for all sides. And it may not change the facts of what is going on, but it can change us and change our attitude towards those who are on the other side, even if we disagree with them. And it can help us look at things, all things, with a more spiritual lens. As I said, you know, I think in some ways our nation is deeply divided politically, and if you haven't seen it, I think you're going to see it maybe in the weeks to come. Some strong viewpoints. You know, and probably you can kind of guess people's what side they're on different things just by where they get their news. You know, do you get your news from Fox News or more conservative sources, or do you listen to CNN and MSNBC or more liberal sources? We all have viewpoints, and I have mine too. And yet when we come together as Christians, we don't come together as Republicans or Democrats. We don't come together as blacks or whites or Hispanics or Koreans or whatever else the case may be. We come together as people for which Christ has died. And in Christ Jesus, there is no black or white. There is no Jew or Greek. There is no male or female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, we all come as sinners in need of a Savior. In Christ, we all receive the same Holy Spirit to sanctify us. And in Christ Jesus, we all serve the same Father of us all. And I think we here in this church, I think we understand this. I think it's out there in the world that is most divided. And I think when tempers flare on one side or the other, it's more common among those who are not grounded in spirituality. And we should not be surprised when we look at secular society and see the enmity and strife. I think of what Paul says when he's talking about the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. And listen to some of the works of the flesh. I mean, this is right in a row. He lists enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, and envy. That part of human nature, part of the works of the flesh, is that there's going to be dissensions. And when we see dissensions out in society as Christians, it shouldn't surprise us. If we don't have the Holy Spirit living in us and causing us to help us love one another, it's easy to take sides and to get in fights and strifes and quarrels and everything else. It's the Holy Spirit and spirituality that brings us together. You know, that being said, I know that too often race relations have impacted the church. There was a time when blacks could not attend Abilene Christian University. I remember, this is one of the things I was going to leave out that I took out, but I remember going to Natchitoches, Louisiana, right after I graduated from preaching school. And it was kind of a different experience for me because, you know, I had grown up here in Cove. I had grown up in a military community. I went to first grade and kindergarten, you know, in a school that was, had various races. And for the most part, we all got along very well. But I go there and one side of the river is the black part of town and the other side of the river is the white part of town. In Natchitoches, they had a predominantly white Church of Christ, and then they had a predominantly black Church of Christ. And overall, the relationship was good. But I remember when, you know, the minister was going out of town, and it was kind of inappropriate to stay at his house, you know, when his wife was there and he was gone. So I went and stayed at one of the deacon's houses in the church. And I heard some racial views from the wife of the deacon that shocked me. I felt like I was going back about 20 or 30 years in time. I mean, there was definitely some prejudice there. But that being said, I don't really think, I think the more spiritual people, we find a closer bond than those who are outside in a society and don't have that spiritual backing. I think that when we look at the enmities and strife and quarrels and jealousy and factions, and they are the stuff of human nature, especially apart from Jesus Christ. And we know in this world that we live in, there will always be conflicts. That is the nature of this world. But for those of us in Christ, we are children of God. And we are all Abraham's children and sons of the Most High. Last thought I had on this. So I think most of us cannot solve the larger problems going on in society. But I think, again, and I'm going to refer back to what Benjamin Watson said. Again, a Christian who happens to be a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, and he is black. But he made the point, we all have our own sphere of influence. That we maybe can't solve what's going on in New York or Chicago or Louisiana or Minneapolis or some other cities in our nation. But we all have the people that we interact with. And what we can do is we can love our Christian brothers and sisters, both black and white. And when we see someone in need, We can be the Good Samaritan. And it doesn't matter whether or not they have the same skin color. And how do we treat black co-workers? How do we treat white co-workers? We cannot always control what is going on in the world around us, but we can control our own actions. And this is not to say that Christians can never be involved in social causes. I think we can. But still, a lot of what being a Christian means is what happens in our everyday lives. How do you treat the clerk at the convenience store? When you see a police officer, do you show them respect? Do you tell them thank you for what they do? When you see a young black man, do you treat him with respect? There's a place for social causes and there's a place for leadership. But those things by themselves cannot change the world. The best thing we can do is let God's Spirit live in us in every encounter we have. And to be a people who try to treat all people with dignity and respect. We can spend all week watching the news and listening to different viewpoints, but we are still left with Monday morning and what all this means for us. And so what I suggested this morning, and just to recap real quickly, as we pray for people, all people on all sides of the various issues, and when we do, I think some of our attitudes can change. And as I said before, we may see things the same way, but our attitudes may change. And we need to be a people, when Monday rolls around, that focus on what we can do to be better neighbors, Christians, and friends. And as simple as it may sound, that is what we really have to worry about. You know, we can't solve the racial issues in New York if we don't live in New York, and we can't solve the issues in Chicago or the issues in LA. But we can try to treat everyone we come in contact with respect, regardless of skin color. And I think too often as Christians, we spend our lives focusing on things that we have no control over. And yet what God tells us is love your neighbor as yourself. If there's anyone that needs to come forward today for any reason, we invite you to come while together we stand and we sing.